Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The ACC and Notre Dame will reportedly join the Big Ten and Southeastern conferences in banning NFL players from returning to college football. The SEC voted unanimously yesterday to ban athletes that have signed NFL, NBA, and WNBA contracts from playing for their member schools. That's under penalty at the discretion of Commissioner Greg Sankey. The Big Ten similarly addressed the NFL issue, but not issued guidance on other professional leagues. The college football season begins Saturday with games in Week 0. In the NFL, Bengals wideout Ja'Marr Chase had an injury scare Tuesday at practice, but says it was a hyperextension of his left knee. Chase adds that if Cincinnati played tomorrow, he'd be good to go. Bengals wrap the preseason Friday at the Eagles. Browns put a bow in the preseason tomorrow night hosting the Patriots. And in baseball last night, Jose Ramirez had a triple-double to power the Guardians to an 8-6 win over the Angels in Anaheim. Sixth straight win for Cleveland. This update sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Try UDF's new ice cream summer flavors, but only for a limited time.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamorie is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 9:30. The SEC and the Big Ten maybe found a workaround. We will get to that coming up in about 25 minutes from now. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas. We'll answer those coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Before we get to that, we'll do a little higher, lower, 9:45. Jake Trotter going to join us at 10:30 today around college football. 11 o'clock, we continue in the NFC East. We will do the Cowboys and we will do the Eagles on this fine First Friday. Can you imagine being a 29-year-old NFL quarterback with the ability of an MVP, with the ability to lead your team to Super Bowls, with the belief that you are a quarterback, a franchise quarterback who will win multiple Super Bowls in one location and win and continue. And you see a career out in front of you that is just laced with accolades and victories and all of these things, but you start to get hurt and the hurting sucks and it happens time and time again. And you start to get mentally fatigued by all of it. And it makes you question how long you want to keep doing this, right? And it would. That's human nature. Like, how many rehabs can you go through? How many come back from injuries? How many bad news press conferences can you have? How many I feel like I was all those years ago are you even capable of? The quarterback that might be in your head that I am describing is Joe Burrow, and that would make sense. He's 29 years old. We've talked a lot about how they are in a win now window. Absolutely. We know about the injury history. It did feel like some of the conversations he's had over the last year publicly are ones of quite a bit of self-reflection and quite a bit of understanding of the spot that he's in and the timeliness of right now with this Cincinnati Bengals team. The quarterback I just described also would describe Andrew Luck. And it was 7 years ago, 2 days ago, that Andrew Luck retired from the NFL. And it leaked out in a preseason game against the Cleveland Browns on August 24th of 2019. And with that leaking out came this shock that he was not going to play anymore. And I got thinking about all of this when I saw Ja'Marr Chase down in a pile yesterday. Now, this happened middle of yesterday afternoon, and initially you hear Ja'Marr Chase is down. He's off to the side. He's getting attention. Then the video comes out of Ja'Marr Chase going down, and you see him kind of limping off. And the worst type of injuries to see in football are non-contact ones. I was there when Grant Delpit did it. He was just doing like a back pedal, and his Achilles ruptured. I mean, he just was backpedaling. There wasn't any sort of high leverage play. He just was backpedaling, and he blew his Achilles. And we see this with ACLs, and we see it with ligaments. And when I saw Ja'Marr go down and I saw like the non-contact, I thought, my God, could that be it? And it was just one more reminder. I'm certainly not doing this to put this out in the atmosphere for Bengals fans. It's not the intent at all. But it was a reminder of how fleeting all of this is and how quickly it can all go away in a blink. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and we've spent a lot of time because it's been a much more noisy training camp with the Cleveland Browns, and obviously I know that operation intimately, and we are the home of the Browns. So we're going to talk a little bit more Browns than Bengals, especially when they have all the news that's coming out of there. But as you're watching Cincinnati, and you're keeping a close eye on what's going on down there, and we've talked about this. This is the best roster in the AFC. I really believe it. We'll get to him in 2 days in a couple weeks, but you just pull it up and you just look and you say, where are the question marks? And really the only question marks you can have with Cincinnati is just health. Like, can they stay healthy? So when you see Ja'Marr Chase down in a heap, you can't help. I couldn't help but say, that's how quickly this can all go away. That's how critical it is for the Cincinnati Bengals, for Joe Burrow, for Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, for all of it, for Zach, for ownership, all of it, for all of these stars that have aligned. It is so critical for them to take care of the spot they're in right now. Because if you were an Indianapolis Colts fan 10 years ago, you would have said, well, we're going to have Andrew Luck. We got several windows of Andrew Luck's greatness that we can rely upon. We had this first window when he get us to an AFC championship, never got all the way to the Super Bowl, but got him to an AFC championship game. They had several different kind of incarnations around him. And the thinking was at 29, well, you got 7-8 more years of Andrew Luck. Yeah, he took a beating, but he's a tough kid. He's a pro-style guy, big guy, physical guy. We got 7 or 8 more years of Andrew Luck. We can draft around him, and we can have a second version of this team. And it all went away. It all went away because Andrew Luck didn't want to get hit anymore. He'd had enough. He'd done enough rehab. He'd been through enough stuff. And I empathize with that. I understand that. It was a reminder yesterday of how it can all go away so quickly and how critical it is for this Cincinnati team to take advantage of the position that they're in right now and hope that the football gods take care of them on the injury side. Because quite honestly, guys, that's the only thing that's going to stop this team.
I forget when this was, but Joe Burrow made a statement that the window for the Cincinnati Bengals is his whole career. And it was one of only a few times I've really gone, not so fast, my friend. Because I believe then, and I believe it more so now, that there are no such thing as windows you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the time frame of those windows is going to be, because things can happen. Like I said yesterday, life comes at you fast in all sport, but I don't think it comes at you any faster than in the NFL. Where to your point about Andrew Luck, where Colts fans are going, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. Andrew Luck, are you kidding me? Preseason, Andrew Luck's retiring. Sorry, what?
Yeah, that's right.
With Joe Burrow, year two, we're going to the Super Bowl injury. And it hasn't been a full healthy season since. Now you have this. Yesterday, Ja'Marr Chase, he just said it was a hyperextension of his left knee. If Cincinnati had a game tomorrow, he'd be good to go. But boy, if he goes down, you don't want to say that's the full season. And for Ja'Marr, it might not be for Cincinnati. But if Joe's out, I know they have Joe Flacco, but it's probably the season. For a lot of NFL teams that are like Super Bowl, it's now. They lose their starting quarterback. Super Bowl maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the window, you can't hold these things open for anybody. You can't expect them. You can't act on if you've got a window that's a couple of years.
Mm-mm.
It's such a compliment to what the Rams are doing, saying, we got to win now.
Yeah,
bleep them picks, bleep the picks, bleep it all, bleep the future. We're going now as best as we possibly can. And that's, I think, what every team across every sport needs to start doing if they haven't already.
Yeah.
You see that with Ja'Marr Chase yesterday, and you've seen guys with something very similar to that be down for a whole year.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily for him, it was just a hyperextension, and I'm sure that Ja'Marr Chase's legs are ridiculously strong, and that probably helped him in that situation. But it just goes, I don't even go back as far as the window, Reese. I go back to Joe Burrow's comments last week saying, I don't want to talk about next year anymore.
Yeah.
We need to talk about right now. And a lot of people took those comments a lot of different ways. Was he taking a shot at the front office? We didn't think so, because the front office has done a pretty good job here the past couple years. Was he pushing his players? Was he pushing his coaching staff? Was he pushing himself? You know, who knows with those comments? But it's so true, because you don't know, especially in a league like the NFL, what tomorrow brings. And the Bengals are in as good of a situation as maybe they've ever been right now. So go take advantage of it.
Yeah. By the way, if you're curious, Andrew Luck would just be 36 years old right now. I mean, he is. I'm not would be. He's not past. Not post haste.
He's got nine more seasons, according to Tom Brady.
Yeah. He's 36. Yeah, right. He's 36 years old. He's running Stanford's football program as the general manager. His last year in the NFL was 2018. He was 29. They went 10-6. He completed 67% of his passes for 4,600 yards, 39 touchdowns, 15 picks. He was a comeback player of the year. He's a Pro Bowler. And then it all went away because he got banged up. Something was wrong with his shoulder. Remember, he missed the previous season with shoulder. It's fleeting. All of this is just so damn fleeting. And it's a reminder yesterday as I'm watching Jamar Chase, like, good Lord, dude, get up. Come on, Jamar, get up. Like, please, I like watching you play. Like, get up. And he did, and he's okay. But if you watched, even if you watched Hard Knocks last night, I mean, they had three season-ending injuries in one episode of Hard Knocks. Second-round pick at safety, the backup to Cooper Kupp at receiver, all in, like, an hour of Hard Knocks. All happened. That's how fleeting this all can be. Yesterday, we'd be remiss not to mention this off of the top. Yesterday, we lost really an American icon, in simplest put, a slice of Americana. Dolly Parton was omnipresent in my life as a little kid constantly, whether it was the music, the movies. She constantly was doing TV specials around the holidays. I remember doing her doing stuff with, like, the Muppets. I just remember her being like a breath of fresh air every room she walked in. I won't pretend that I was the biggest fan of all time, but certainly was aware. And I think it's a little bit like Willie Nelson for me, as you forget all the songs she wrote. You know the songs that she sang, but you don't realize and properly understand how many she wrote that other people have also sang. And obviously, even like Jolene most recently with Beyonce, but most famously Whitney Houston with I Will Always Love You. Like, there's all of these things that have happened, and just a massive, massive slice of Americana. I'll be honest with you, I thought she was a lot older than 80. I did too. I mean, I don't remember, like, I remember being like a little kid and seeing her on TV shows and movies and like 9 to 5 and all of that stuff. I mean, that's all 45 years ago. I mean, she was in her 30s at that time. So just a remarkable, remarkable career, and so much philanthropic work. Incredible amount, a lot of stuff we didn't even know about until she passed yesterday. Reese, what, you're younger than us by a generation or so, probably not as much for you as us.
I disagree. I think she's of any musical, of any performer, any musician, any philanthropist was ever present now as almost as she's ever been. Her music's timeless. Her music's transcendent. But she did a Thanksgiving Dallas Cowboys game not too long ago.
Oh, God, that's right.
And looked like she could keep going. She could keep performing for another decade. Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
It became more of the Dolly world. But I know in recent years she'd been super involved, even in the state of Ohio, with kids and literacy programs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just as present for 60 years, she was always kind of at the forefront of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, been some really cool stuff with some of the Johnny Carson appearances that are making their way on social media and so forth and so on. So just an American legend and a true slice of Americana in Dolly Parton and gone at age 80. All right, coming up next, we'll continue to go around the National Football League. Some interesting stuff with the ownership situation with the San Francisco 49ers. In addition to that, some high praise for a freshman receiver in the Scarlet and Gray. We're off and running on a First Friday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Where can you listen to the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes? On Columbus's number one station. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
I'm Leslie from
The Reds are on The Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and The Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Pretty quiet as we go throughout the rest of your Wednesday. Mid to high level clouds pass on by. We'll say partly sunny overall with highs in the lower 80s. Tonight, there's a slight chance of a passing shower or storm. Otherwise, partly cloudy, mid 60s. For your Thursday, similar story. Slight chance of a shower or storm, mainly in the afternoon. Most of us are dry, though, with a partly sunny sky and highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Wolfman Matt with this on social. If you want to know the power of the NFL, when Jamar went down, I had five different texts and different threads about it. We're all locked into Twitter following every beat writer's tweet by the second. Yeah, that's... We were doing the same thing. What's Petraglia say about this? What's Ben Baby say about this? When can we get an update? It's that type of panic that that kind of runs through you. Bake, you had a question.
Yeah, we didn't have time in the last segment, especially getting to the Dolly Parton stuff. But if Andrew Luck, he's in shape, he's been working out, he's been taking snaps with Stanford's offense. Mm-hmm. If he came back right now to the NFL and said, I'm coming back, how many teams would make him their starting quarterback today?
Okay, well, let's just do it. Let's just do it AFC to NFC, East to West. Bills, no. Dolphins, no, because they just did Malik Willis.
I think so they would.
But they have no weapons. Like, I think they're tanking, right? Like, I don't know that. I mean, maybe they would, but he's like 36.
Yeah, they're a road to tank.
Yeah.
I think they would take him, though.
I disagree, but okay. Patriots, no.
No.
Jets?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think they have weapons, and all of a sudden you put a 36. I mean, they did it with Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, I think Jets would be an absolute for me. Baltimore, no. Cincinnati, no. Cleveland, yes, in a millisecond.
Yep.
Pittsburgh.
That's so interesting. If it was next year, yeah.
100%, but probably not. Houston?
I don't think so.
Maybe. I mean, they haven't extended CJ yet. Indianapolis, absolutely. Yep. Even though, because he's their guy. Jacksonville, no. Tennessee, probably no. Denver, no. Kansas City, no. Vegas, no. Chargers, no. NFC East, Cowboys, no. Giants, yes. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think Philly, probably no, but they'd think about it. Washington, probably no, but they would give it a long thought.
Yeah.
Chicago, no. Detroit, no. Green Bay, no. Minnesota, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, my God, yes. Carolina, yes. New Orleans, yes. Tampa Bay, yes. All of them, like, I think, right? It's like nine. Arizona, yes. Rams, no. Niners, I mean, if they didn't just pay Purdy, I mean, they just paid him $400 million.
I think they would, though. I think it'd be an upgrade.
I know you think that, but I don't know that they do. And then Seahawks, no, probably. But I mean, you're 10, taking a 36-year-old guy who hasn't played in 9 years. It's 10. Maybe a couple more. Maybe a dozen. It's hard to say. But, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that the Chase thing did yesterday. It just was a reminder of how fleeting this can be. I mean, we see these. You see catastrophic injury. It happens all the time. Bengals fans know it better than anybody. And so you see something like that, and you go, well, they can't lose him. And there was a great line, Bill Polian, who, ironically enough, was long-term general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. He was asked one time why they didn't invest in backup quarterbacks for Peyton Manning. And I'm paraphrasing, but the gist of his response was, because if 18 goes down, we're all screwed. There is no replacing 18. And that's kind of the thing with a lot of these teams. Like, if you're the Bengals and Burrow goes down, yeah, Flacco can piecemeal it together, but you're not a Super Bowl contender anymore. And the same is true of Jamar Chase. Like, if Jamar Chase goes down, yeah, they can still win games, but they're not a Super Bowl contender without Jamar Chase. So that's how fleeting all of this stuff can be a little bit. And we got a little window into that yesterday, which was a little scary. This is a crazy story. We talked about this yesterday as well. Jed York, the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, was pinched at East Palestine in Ohio on Sunday as part of a prostitution sting, which then forced his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, to respond to his boss's predicament.
Yeah, I got to talk to Jed the last 2 days and today. Obviously, it's a very tough situation. I mean, views for the organization going forward are, is the same as usual. I mean, there won't be any difference in that. But I know it's extremely fresh. I think it's in a very, very personal situation. I got a lot of respect for Jed. I got a lot of respect for Danielle. Their family does mean a lot to me. So I'm like, with it being this personal, I'm trying as hard as I can to keep it that way. So
your message to the guys today, what was that?
I don't need much of a message to the guys. That's, I think that's kind of irrelevant to our guys.
Good for him for answering it that way. You think the guys care? You think NFL players care?
Not one bit.
Come on, dude. How are the little players going to respond that the owner was soliciting prostitutes? What are you kidding? They don't care. It doesn't impact the team at all in that sense. It impacts his marriage, but that's a personal matter. And I thought Kyle answered that part pretty good. This was pretty interesting in regard to there's a mobile community where he was pinched, and their whole point was, no, we're not, this isn't all happening in our community. That's where he got pulled over. And so on their own Facebook page, they put this out here. Quote, I just got off the phone with the chief of police for East Palestine. According to the chief, Jed York was arrested in the park because that's where he happened to pull over. They were not using addresses in the park as part of their sting operation. The Wheat Hill mobile home community is a clean, quiet, affordable place to call home. This is not the type of place that Jerry Springer would ever find people to be on his show. Good Lord.
Good response out of them. Like, that's not us. That has nothing to do with us.
Got nothing to do with us.
We're good clean over here.
I think it is something that we forget about this, is the police used the trailer park as part of their sting operation, and that's where they sent him to. I also wonder, because they said that they didn't use a real address. They said that they use, like, if it's like 265 and 270, they use 267 or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, when you put that in your GPS and it doesn't show up, don't you start questioning what's going on here?
Where am I going here, man?
I mean, maybe he's frequented this trailer park. I don't know, but...
Gosh almighty, what an absolute mess of a debacle that thing is. So, good job out of Kyle answering it the way that he did. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, the SEC and the Big Ten band together. Is there a precedent-setting move here? Perhaps. We'll try to make some sense of it coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fix.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. The Big Ten and the SEC did something that, to my knowledge, has no precedent. They created a rule without the help of the governing body with which they're members of, the NCAA. They did it on their own. So the Big Ten put in a rule yesterday. This is probably mid-afternoon. The Big Ten put in a rule banning NFL players from playing at Big Ten schools. It was unanimously approved by Big Ten athletic directors, and by far a position where they're just not going to have it. Now, some of the interesting things on this, Big Ten rule banning NFL players is officially passed. I mentioned unanimously, underclassmen who declared for the NFL draft and did not withdraw, any player who has signed a contract with a pro sports league, and anyone who is officially on a professional roster. This is the part that I find very interesting. The Big Ten also confirmed and put it, and Pete Thamel confirming the Big Ten's ruling that coaches would get suspended for half the season if they play an NFL player. There's also an institutional fine and punitive punishments, as first reported by CBS. So this is noteworthy. Let's make a little asterisk on this. We have now, we're going to punish coaches for this versus players. We're not going to suspend players. We're going to punish coaches, and we're going to fine institutions. The SEC last evening followed suit, voted in a 16-0 to implement a policy to prohibit schools from adding professionals. The new policy says schools are not permitted to add an athlete on its roster who has, one, previously declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft and did not appropriately withdraw, two, signed a contract with the NFL or another professional football league, the NBA, G League, or WNBA, or affiliate team, or three, has been listed on an NFL or other professional league roster. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, it is authorized to enforce this expectation with penalties against member institutions. SEC spokesperson later told ESPN that penalties are to be announced. Notre Dame and the ACC joined the No NFL Back to College Football fight as well. Ross Dellinger reporting this. Notre Dame officials have communicated to both the SEC and Big Ten the school is aligned with the prohibit prohibiting signing players who've been part of professional organizations. The ACC leaders agree. Big 12 administrators are expected to also take up the matter. Power leagues and Notre Dame seem aligned on all of these things. Okay, great. Here's just the one. I mean, there's several things, but I think let's tackle the first thing. I think it's pretty smart to go at the coaches as being penalized. So to my knowledge, guys, and you guys have maybe found something that I haven't, but we talk about this all the time. To my knowledge, this is the first time that we've seen, first, any sort of ruling that is not an NCAA ruling. I mean, this is conferences making their own rules. So there is a precedent setting, a precedent that has now been set, that the conferences are making up the rules. So that's a massive thing. That now we're talking about calendar, we're talking about schedules, we're talking about transfer windows. They have now set a precedent that they can make any rule that they want whenever they want to do it. And I think that is very noteworthy. The other thing that I think is noteworthy is they are not ruling the players ineligible. They are penalizing the coaches if they play them. So what that does, and I didn't even go to Bird Law School, but what that does to me would say as a player now cannot sue a conference or an institution or the NCAA. I guess they'd be suing the conference. They can't sue the conference for damages because the conference technically isn't damaging the player. They're damaging the institution and the coaches. They're not saying these guys can't play. They're saying if you play them, we're going to punish you. So is that loophole one that holds up and is kind of a workaround to get around litigation? That was my thinking on that.
I mean, that's how I kind of read it, where if you look to the SEC's ruling and it's the decision or the discipline's up to the commissioner to decide what that is, and if they want to rule it down to the coaches, then it's the proper incentivization that also limits what can be done in a court of law.
Yeah.
Because this is just school and its employees handling things on an institutional level. It's not something that a school is outwardly prohibiting. The school's just saying, well, we're going to tell the coaches not to do it. And it's kind of why I've been saying that it needs to start with the coaches. It wasn't lost on me that on Monday, Ryan Day said he'd had plenty of conversation with Tony Petitti about this.
Yeah.
And where a lot of the language yesterday and a lot of the statements, and now I see that the Big 12 is also expected to join this fray, that the coaches are really pushing for this to make it so that they're all protected from everything, and especially from having nonsense like NBA, WNBA, and NFL players come back to the college ranks.
And maybe the coaches were highly involved in this, but this is why I've always said it had to come from above the coaches, because you heard Ryan Day in his press conference the other day say, hey, I don't like this, but if this is going to be the rules, we're going to have to look into it. Lane Kiffin yesterday, and I think we have the audio, but Lane Kiffin said on McAfee, he doesn't like it, and he doesn't think that they should, but these are case-by-case things and blah, blah, blah. These coaches can't help themselves. They want to win games at all costs, and that's how they keep their jobs. So you need these conference commissioners, and we say, well, this isn't from the NCAA, but it kind of is, because these schools and these conferences are the NCAA, and I understand this is a slippery slope with discrimination laws and all of that, but somebody's got to stand up and be an adult and say, no, we can't do this. And I think it's interesting, like, the SEC went further than the Big Ten, and they talked about the NBA and the WNBA and all of this. Well, that means RJ Reese is out for LSU, and Ohio State, unfortunately, has a couple guys that have been paid to play basketball overseas. This might affect the Ohio State basketball roster. And you know what? I'm okay with it.
Well, so am I. But the one differentiator there is they didn't talk about playing overseas as a problem. They mentioned the NBA, the WNBA, the G League, and affiliations. There was no mention of playing in Europe.
But you're going to have to, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, of course. You have to, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it has to be that. It has to be hockey. It's got to be all of it. It's got to be one rule that applies to all of it. And you have to say, well, and not, again, not an attorney. My hunch is the pushback on this would be they already have contracts and they're being compensated already. So how is it different if they're compensated by somebody other than you? And this is why this is all such a slippery slope. I do think that the two most important things to come of this were, number one, the Big Ten and the SEC doing something on their own. and them going first. They had to go first. The ACC and the Big 12 couldn't go first on this. Notre Dame couldn't go first on this. It had to be the Big 10 and the SEC. I don't think it's a coincidence that these two things were announced with, what, within 2 hours of each other? Two or three? It was quickly, short order. It was Big 10 first, then SEC second, relatively quickly and by unanimous means. So I think that's noteworthy. I think it's also noteworthy that they're going after the coaches. Because let's say that Lane Kiffin continues to play these guys, and we'll play his thing in a second. Let's say he does play these guys that he's signed, because my guess, they're now ineligible, according to the SEC. So we don't know the SEC's penalties yet either. So that's a tricky thing. Essentially, if it's a 16-0 vote in the SEC, then Lane Kiffin's athletic director voted for this. His president voted for this. So if Lane Kiffin is going to file a hardship case against the SEC, he's essentially suing himself. It's what he'll be doing and what LSU will be doing. So that makes this pretty tricky. Now, again, I don't know. We don't know the SEC's penalties. We know the Big Ten's. Here was Kiffin on McAfee yesterday defending his decision to recruit the NFL guys.
You know that an injunction in Baton Rouge where a court order was issued to allow these players. There's court orders in South Carolina, Georgia, California, Kentucky, all over the country issuing the same thing for these kids. And so we followed those, as many coaches did. Like I said, I told our staff, whoever the kid chooses, the first kid chooses, will be the poster child school, not the first to recruit. There's all kinds of schools that recruited him. You know, ask Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, how many schools called and offered him a lot to come there, including our conference and including his previous school. But he chose us. And so I said, hey, when he decided to choose us, I said, just get ready, guys. This is going to come. This will be Lane Kiffin, LSU, you know, doing something that nobody else is doing. And there's a number of kids that have committed to schools that have been in mini camps, been in different camps, been cut. This guy was just happened to be the poster child of one that was just getting cut at the time to come here.
When did the NCAA change to 5-to-play-5 rule? When did that happen?
Well, I don't think it was supposed to go into effect until next year, like next fall, 2027.
Yeah, so it was ratified June 23rd. So 2 months ago, it was ratified. The reason that these guys are allowed eligibility is the case that they made and the case that these judges, and Kiffin is right, there's district judges all over the place that have approved this. They've argued that because this rule took place in an academic year, although June 23rd is a bit of a stretch as an academic year, but I guess somehow, because they were discussing this rule in an academic year, these players should have been grandfathered in under the 5-for-5 rule. That's the argument, and that's an argument that's won in court. So this is, but we now, look, we also have precedent with Sorsby that if they band together and they actually stick to it, they actually can enforce rules. Like, the judge ruled in Sorsby's favor, but the pressure was so immense on Texas Tech that they were forced to acquiesce and go in a different direction. And then the NFL had their back, because the one leverage that Sorsby kind of have was, well, worst case scenario, I'll go to the supplemental draft. The NFL's like, yeah, no, you're not going to go to the supplemental draft. So I'll be curious to see if the NFL has any sort of pushback on this, because I'm going to guarantee you this, like, Todd Monken did not think he would lose that kid to LSU. Now, he wasn't in the two deep or anything like that, but I think he was probably going to be a practice squad player, and they were probably going to hope that they could develop him. And now he's back at, now he's going to go to LSU, or maybe he isn't. Who the hell knows? And then, by the way, who retains his rights? Like, the NFL does have to have some culpability in this to help college football enforce some of this stuff. The league kind of does. So that'll be something to watch for as well. But I think the two big takeaways from yesterday, number one, the Big Ten and the SEC went at it alone. And they created a rule for themselves. So there's a precedent that is set there that we don't really have never had anything before, where conferences set up their own rules outside of the governing body. So that's big. And I think the other thing that's really big is the Big Ten saying, hey, we're going to punish coaches. Coaches do this, we're punishing them. They're not punishing the players. They're going to punish the institutions as well, but primarily they're going to punish the coaches. So that is an interesting one as well. We haven't seen that yet either. So two big developments yesterday on this front. We'll play a little higher, lower coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently.
For Devere Posey and Dean Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
And homes in Columbus know that August brings those aggressive yellow jackets and wasps. You've all seen them. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property and family at the Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Programs. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-round protection, one flat annual fee, so you don't have to worry about it. You get those regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local, family-owned, and trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for over 165 years. Get peace of mind today. 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Time for a little higher lower on a first Friday. Go ahead, Reese.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Oh, baby.
Is that Week Zero's music?
We're here, baby.
I think USC's got San Jose State Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So that's, oh, boy. I don't know what time. What time do the defending Division II national champions play?
Let's be fair, Reese. Let's make sure we're accurate. One double A. What do they call it? FCS.
It's the CS, maybe.
I just continue to call it one double A. They play Utah Tech. I guess I haven't even. It's a bad job of me. I really should make sure that I have the date and the time right. It's beautiful because I can watch it on ESPN Plus. So they will be debuting 10 p.m. Saturday night at Greater Zion Stadium. That's got to be spectacular. In St. George, Utah? That's beautiful.
Your guy Cignetti poaching the Bobcats roster.
Oh, I know it. God almighty, he's coming at me at every angle. You know, you put on that video game when you reset it, when they do like a roster update, and the first image you see is him going, it's in the game. I'm going, oh God, I can't rid myself.
At this point, he is the game.
The 30 for 30, the God. Google me.
Everybody's just chasing him.
Narrated by Bo Bishop.
Fair to say there is no heat on Sig's seat. Sports Illustrated took 10 new, brand spanking new head coaches, well, new to the job, new to their current job, and ranked them. So we have some heat on the seat rankings of 10 FBS head football coaches. We want to start at the top or start at number 10?
Let's start at the top. So this is, just to be clear, these are guys who have just been hired? Okay, all right. So this is first-year guys, year most school. Pressure.
Who's got the most
first
pressure?
First-year news. Okay, all right. I'm ready. Let's do it.
At number one, Lane Kiffin, LSU.
Unanimous.
Can't go any higher, but that's probably pretty good. At number two, James Franklin, Virginia Tech. Number three, Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State. Number four, Pete Golding at Ole Miss. Higher or lower for Golding in Oxford?
I think Golding, for me, Golding would probably be... I mean, there's one other guy that I think ought to be higher on list that you just went one through four and you didn't name him. So I would have somebody higher than the guys at two and three. I would probably have Golding sitting at number two on this list. I'd have him at three, and I haven't looked at this list, but I would have Matt Campbell too. I think the schedule at Penn State, all of the Iowa State talent that he brought in, and Penn State fired a guy who basically went 10-2 every year, 9-3, and they ran him. Last year they started the year ranked, what, second in the country in the AP? And they ran him because it wasn't quite good enough, and they brought this guy in. I feel like Matt Campbell's under the second most pressure behind Kiffin, and then I would go Golding 3. I don't think Franklin's under much at all. I think the same with Pat Fitz. I think everybody understands it's going to be a long build. But I think the pressure is really on Campbell. I would have Campbell higher. I don't know where he is, but that's where I would have him too.
So everybody, I think, should be unanimous that Kiffin's number one. The bullseye is dead on his back this year. I do think Pete Golding should be number two on the list. Because he's got Trinidad Chambliss coming back, because he's got Kawan Lacey coming back, they've got a pretty good roster that made it to the college football semifinals last year. Mm-hmm. I think if he goes out there with those guys and it's an 8-4 type season and they miss the playoff, I think Ole Miss may be like, you know what, maybe this guy wasn't the guy for the job after all. Now, I think he'll survive it, of course, and get more mm-hmm. than that. But I do think there is pressure there. I'm with you. I don't think there's any pressure on James Franklin. Mm-mm. And I actually think James Franklin is going to have Virginia Tech in the college football playoff sooner rather than later. And I don't think there's any pressure on Pat Fitzgerald in Michigan State. We talked to Matt Sheehan earlier this summer when we were doing 20 Most Interesting of the Locked On Spartans podcast. And he said they all know up there with the discontent above Pat Fitzgerald and how everything has been, that this is going to take a few years. So Pat Fitzgerald has some leeway here. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any pressure on him at all either.
Yeah.
All right, so Sports Illustrated is responsible for this list of the 10 coaches with the most pressure in the first year that they are on their new job. At 4, we said Pete Golding of Ole Miss. At 5, mm-hmm. Eric Morris of Oklahoma State. At 6, Kyle Whittingham of Michigan. At 7, John Summerall at Florida. Higher or lower for Summerall at Florida?
Probably, just because, you know, I can't tell if Florida's a good job or just when they have one of the best coaches, they really win. Like, when they have Urban and Spurrier, then they can beat anybody and be as good as any program. When they don't have those two guys or two of the 10 best coaches the last 100 years in college football, when they don't have those two guys, then they're nothing. So, and they expect it. They really do. So I think that Florida's pressure is much higher than, say, you had Virginia Tech's two on this. There's way more pressure to win at Florida than there is at Virginia Tech. I don't think that's particularly close at all. Same thing. Who was number three on this? Pat Fitzgerald? Like, I would put those guys just way, way back in the back half of the top, maybe the last couple in the top 10. Eric Morris is an interesting one in that he is in, he's essentially this year's version of Cignetti, where he's bringing dudes with him, including his quarterback. Now, this is happening at Auburn. It's happening in other places, too. But, like, Oklahoma State, I'm guessing a big part of this was that they were getting Mastemaker to come with him. And so, like, he's got to go right now. I think Kyle Whittingham, I think he's kind of impervious to pressure. And to me, he's a little bit like Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction. Like, he's just the cleaner. That's what I think Whittingham is. I don't know that there's... I mean, he can't go... But even if they fired him after 1 year, he was going to retire anyway. So, I don't think there's much pressure on Whittingham.
Yeah, I don't know about the Eric Morris part of this and how much Oklahoma State is expecting from him in year one. And I understand he's bringing a lot of players with him from North Texas, but it was still a North Texas team that was 8-4, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
And I think Oklahoma State's schedule is going to be harder than what North Texas played, so I don't know how much you're expecting, and I don't know what the expectations are for Oklahoma State. Kyle Whittingham, I mean, I think we've all just said he's a guy that they've hired to just keep the ship afloat and mm-hmm. bring a little respectability back. I do think Florida feels like they are better than they are. So I'm guessing there is some pressure on John Summerall. They've ran through coaches in Florida here in the recent history. So I'm guessing there is a little pressure on him. I would have him up. I think I said I would have Pete Golden, too. I'd probably have Matt Campbell, 3. I think I would have Summerall right behind those guys.
Where's Alex Golish on this list?
So Alex Golish is 9. Matt Campbell's at 8. And then you mentioned former Florida coaches. Billy Napier is at James Madison. He is 10th on this list.
Okay, so Campbell's got to go way up. Like, to me, he would be 2, Golding 3. I actually think that Golish is under a ton of pressure because Auburn will run coaches. Auburn will. Like, if it doesn't go great with him, and I like him, and I think he's going to do a good job. He brought his quarterback with him, all those things. But, like, if they don't win right away at Auburn, they'll run him. So I think his pressure's top 5 pressure.
Yeah, I'd probably have him behind Summerall at number 5. I think Billy Napier's got a lot of pressure on him and the fact that if this doesn't work at James Madison, he might be done being a head coach. He may go back to being a coordinator. So I think there is quite a bit of pressure on Napier. I would have him up higher, too, probably right, 5 or 6, 7, right in there.
All right, real quick from all of us, who has the least pressure of all of these guys?
I was going to say Fitz.
I think it's Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Now in 4 years, there might be pressure, but I don't think there's any pressure the first couple of years.
Yeah, I think Fitz, Whittingham, and James Franklin are all kind of pressure-free at the moment. I think all those guys are in a pretty sweet spot. All right, coming up second hour of the program, Jake Trotter going to join us at 10:30 around college football. We kick it off with a little, hey, guys, still time to get your questions into the fellas at 971BFS on the X platform. Also, we will take those live in the YouTube chat. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and Notre Dame are joining forces to prevent NFL players from coming back to college. All parties have or are prepared to issue statements banning players who've signed with NFL teams. The Big 12 is also expected to announce a similar ban. The Big Ten's going to punish coaches who break the rule, and the SEC took it a step further by banning NBA and WNBA players, adding the punishment for breaking those rules will be at the discretion of SEC boss Greg Sankey. Actual college football games begin Saturday. It'll be week zero in the sport. Number 14 USC hosts San Jose State Saturday at 3. Number 1 Ohio State's 10 days out from hosting Ball State Saturday, September 5th. In baseball last night, Jose Ramirez hit 3 doubles, drove in 5 runs as the Guardians extended their win streak to 6 in an 8-6 victory over the Angels in Anaheim. Guardians are above 500 for the first time since August 2nd. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com and make your reservation today.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Next hour we get into two-a-days with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Jake Trotter coming up in 27 minutes from now. Time now, though, to hit you with a little, hey, guys, hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag, hey, guys, and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by Rose Pest Solutions.
All right, get him in the YouTube chat. I'm seeing him fast and furious. Some are a little alarming. So looking forward to getting those out there. But I did want to start on Twitter at 971BFS. Coach Beard asks, hey, guys, I have the first pick in my 14-team fantasy league this weekend. Who should I draft?
Well, I would think that, I mean, so this kind of depends a little bit on the setup of the league, PPR and not. I assume that this is a Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs conversation would be my guess, that you would pick one of those guys. I would go Jahmyr just from the standpoint of, I think there's more kind of around him. And I just kind of worry a little bit about that quarterback situation in Atlanta and Stefanski and those guys having to like chase games and having to throw it. So I suppose it's between those two. I would probably take Jahmyr Gibbs, but you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. By the way, I hate being the first round pick. Do you know how long he's going to have to wait to pick number two in a 14 team? My God.
Yeah. I've never really liked having the first pick in a draft. No. I think you're right, Bo. It's between Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. And I think I would lean Jahmyr Gibbs because I feel like most leagues are PPR leagues, and Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get you receiving yards and catches as well. I also know Detroit is a high-powered offense. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Atlanta's going to be. No. I have no clue. And you would think that it would be built about around Bijan Robinson, and it probably will for the most part, but I've also seen games where Kevin Stefanski threw the ball 30 times with Nick Mullins. So
that's it. I would assume that he's going to use Bijan the way he used like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt early on, which was a lot. So that, but you also, all of the stuff you're hearing about the Tua Vailoa, the Tua Vailoa performances down there is that it's not gone well at all, and they want Penix back in the worst possible way. So that's something to monitor too, because Penix was just cleared yesterday.
We'll go back to Twitter in a second, but I wanted to get this in from the YouTube chat from Dustin. Hey guys, my fiance wants to start Christmas shopping this weekend. This after doing the Halloween decorations, already went up last weekend. When is too early for all of this stuff?
So I'm going to give her a pass. Obviously, you're way too early. But here's what I would say to your fiance. So don't do it this weekend. Do it next weekend. Next weekend is all the Labor Day sales. So next weekend, you're going to be able to crush it. This weekend, she's going to be paying full price. So not only is she early, she's not financially responsible by trying to do this now. So just wait till next weekend, then I'll give her a pass for the early because she's getting things at discount. Everything's on sale next weekend with Labor Day. Everything. Just wait a week.
So on Sundays, after the fan call-in show, I usually make a run to Meijer for the week.
Mm-hmm.
They had Halloween candy out. And I don't know why it took me by surprise, but it took me by surprise. I mean, I don't care. It's your house. You do what you want. I think it's insane to have Halloween decorations up already. But if that's what you're into, you do you. So it doesn't bother me at all. I'll say this on the Christmas shopping or gift giving in general. I don't care how far out it is. If you see something that somebody would like and you think it's the right price and it's a good deal, go ahead and get it. If you sit on it for 8 months, who cares? If you know it's the right gift for that person, go ahead and get it.
Yeah, I would co-sign that. I think Costco has had their Halloween stuff out at least the last 2 weeks. All of it. Like all the costumes, the 12-foot Frankensteins, all that stuff. It's been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess you get them before the sales tax holiday. Or you get them for the Labor Day sales.
Yeah, maybe.
And if they're going to sit in your basement for the next decade anyway, what's an extra month added onto that?
I'll say this, like if you're paying attention to stuff at stores or online or whatever, there's sales all year round. You can always find a good price on something.
Tell my wife that, who I don't think's bought anything on sale in her life.
Well, I mean, when she's living that Bishop lifestyle, you don't got to worry about sales.
I just some giant air purifier showed up.
To help the air quality in your house.
We have one on the HVAC. Like, what? I don't even understand where she's going to put this
thing. Every little bit helps, Bo. NBC's playing football now. He needs all the quality air he can get.
Sure. Yeah.
I saw this from Snagglepuss on Twitter at 971BFS, and I think he's asked us this question before, and I'm going to apologize in advance. I don't have a good answer, but he wants to know the best barbecue in Columbus. He adds Ray Ray's is not the right answer. But I like Ray Ray's, Snagglepuss. I think it's fine barbecue.
I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want to hurt feelings. What's the best way to frame this?
I love the look on your face right now. So perplexed.
There isn't anything I want to advocate for. Is that safe enough?
Yeah, that's fair. You cannot be a barbecue
guy. You can read into that
however
you want.
Yeah. Like,
so living in the South as long as I did, like there were all sorts of great barbecue. And honestly, my favorite barbecue, my wife actually does tremendous ribs that I love and devour, and they're the best ones that I've had. I'll abstain.
So I'm not the best for this question either because I'm not the biggest barbecue fan. Like, I don't love how most places will cook it and then throw it in the sauce. Like, I don't love a lot of sauce. Like, even on my wings, I don't love a lot of sauce.
Same.
So, like, I prefer when stuff is cooked in the sauce. Like, marinates in the sauce and then is cooked rather than the opposite where you cook it and then dunk it in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. The one place in Columbus that I didn't mind barbecue with just went away, and I believe it was called the Iron Grill. It was up in Clintonville on High Street, but it's no more now. But I always thought that place was pretty good.
I don't know where the Hoggies is now. They used to be in Linworth, I want to say.
Okay. There's one, I believe, like a catering spot that you can pick up on Bethel Road, across from the Micro Center.
Theirs is good. If ever we do barbecue, like City Barbecue does great party plan. Like,
yeah, they
great
do.
Party platters. And so, again, not being the biggest barbecue person, Baker, I didn't know before we asked this question because I'm just not. And so
Yeah, I'm not either. Not huge.
Hoggies or City Barbecue's never done me wrong.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the YouTube chat. Do some more food stuff here with Kyle, who says, "Hey guys, I saw the Shoe, Ohio Stadium, is adding Bibi Bop to offer gluten-free bowls. Are you ordering that, or is game day meant for greasy dogs, pizza, or nachos? And he asks a follow-up, what food would you bring to the shoe?
So, I think you have two different type of definitions of, like, stadium food, tailgate food. I think there is food that you can eat at a tailgate. Okay? So, that is food that I think you can put on a plate. I think you can, it's something that you're going to have to eat standing up. So you're going to be holding the plate, you're going to have a fork, and then you're going to have to put the beverage down. But I think I have a little bit more room for to move there in terms of what you could have. To answer his first question, I love bibimbap. It's great. I would have no problem with it. It has nothing to do with being gluten-free or not. I'm not have any issue with gluten. But I think bibimbap's great. So I would have no problem doing that. However, if I'm in the stadium, then to me, you can do personal pizza, you can do hot dog, you can do pretzel, you can do popcorn, and that's probably about it. You can't, I'm not a nacho guy in the stands because the cheese gets everywhere inevitably, and that's a mess. So it's got to be something that can be self-contained, something that you can hold in a hand, in one hand, and consume. That would be my only rule on in-stadium dining versus tailgate dining, which are two very different things.
If you have to have utensils to eat it at the game, out. Get rid of it.
Out.
It's not allowed. I don't want it. Handhelds only.
I agree. Yeah.
More succinct way. I don't care if it's healthy or not. Handhelds only.
All right, just to put a bow on our barbecue conversation, Chris in the YouTube chat says, Hanks, Cardinals says make the drive down 33 to Millstone. So if you're,
I'll take your word for it. I haven't had it. I mean, if they want to drop some off, we can give it a shot, you know. But I just haven't had those places. But we'll see. All right, we'll continue with the Hey Guys coming up next. Jake Trotter coming up in 18 minutes from now. Bishop and Friends right here.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
A thing that's like, this will make a meal for a family. It's talking like a family of four, and I'm in the family. So I count as like three right off the bat.
Mornings on the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Pretty quiet as we go throughout the rest of your Wednesday. Mid to high level clouds pass on by. We'll say partly sunny overall with highs in the lower 80s. Tonight, there's a slight chance of a passing shower or storm. Otherwise, partly cloudy, mid 60s. For your Thursday, similar story. Slight chance of a shower or storm, mainly in the afternoon. Most of us are dry, though, with a partly sunny sky and highs in the lower 80s. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator. You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. It is a first Friday. Get your officially endorsed coming up at 11:45. Jake Trotter coming up in 12 minutes from now. Time now. Back to the Hey Guys we go. Hit it, Reese.
And we're in the YouTube chat with this one. Actually, these next few. Shannon asks, Hey Guys, do you believe there is a sock monster in the dryer? A treasury of lost socks?
Okay.
Where do all the matches to the socks go?
You tell me, Shannon.
Yeah,
you tell me. I got a bin. It is a wicker bin that I would say is 2 feet deep and 3 feet wide rectangle that is full of socks. Full. I know when I take the socks off my feet where they go. They go into the hamper. From there is a transition from hamper to washer. The only step in between is separation. Whites, darks, right? That's it. Then we just go straight to washer. Then somehow they go to dryer. And then as soon as they're done there, they go back into the room. Inevitably, I'm down one almost every single time. And the kids, good Lord, they're down 16 pairs. You can buy them a whole set of socks. In a month, they have no socks. Nobody knows where they go. 100% I believe in it. It makes no sense. I don't know where they go. I just assume the dryer must eat them up. I don't know. Here's the other thing. I didn't have a sock loss problem before I had kids and a wife. I don't know.
And that's what I was just going to say, is I don't feel like I have this problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever lost a sock that I didn't personally misplace.
That's right.
Or it got mixed into another bin of clothes or something. Mm-hmm. Unless the sock got a hole and... I ripped one and kept the other one for some reason to match it with something else later or whatnot. I feel like I don't lose socks.
Reese is going to be the litmus test on this, because now that he is betrothed and married and a kept man, we'll see if his sock situation remains, that his integrity remains.
Well, that's to say it's had any integrity. Over the last couple of years, I've just lost singular socks. I have a great many sock that don't have a pair, that don't have the matching sock.
Odie been eating them?
I don't know. Well, the thing about that is, I know if Odie eats socks. He's got a great recycling program where you can figure it out what the dog's eaten. And that's if it's a sock and it comes out the color that it went in as. So I think, honestly, it's gotten better the more I've lived with her. So I don't know what to make of any of that. I just know that there is, with, I'd say, every 9 of 10, and Baker, you might be the outlier here, where two socks go in, one sock comes out.
I don't understand it, man.
This from Ace. Hey, guys. If every D1 school was allowed to, by rule, recruit a non-quarterback NFL player to play for them for a season, which player would you recruit to the Buckeyes for 1 year?
I feel pretty good about our quarterback anyway. So I'm going to have anybody in Ohio State history to join this. This is the ask.
I think this is any player in the NFL right now.
Oh, anybody currently playing in the NFL, but do they have to be former Buckeyes?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, they don't? Oh. Well, let's make it former Buckeyes currently playing in the NFL. Can we do that?
It's pretty easy then, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be Caleb Downs
me. Yeah.
That would solve it.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah. I mean, if it's non-quarterback, then I think Myles Garrett at defensive end would be a problem.
Yeah,
that'd be
if it's non-Buckeye.
I was going to say, on this Buckeyes team, it's Garrett or Watt or Micah Parsons, one of those guys, an edge rusher.
Myles Garrett at D end and not worry about it. But if it's a Buckeye, then I think it's Caleb.
It would
be Cam Hayward. It'd be crazy. Like Cam Hayward, like 36 years old, like D tackle, like a grown-ass man.
It would be fun to see Ja'Marr Chase lined up across from Jeremiah Smith.
Oh, jeez. You imagine, with all of the talent all these receiver rooms had, that Chase and Jefferson and Burrow were all at the same place at the same time? Not just, like, the two quarterbacks, but they also had Burrow.
That's why they brought back Coach O to recruit them all.
Crazy.
Is there any more amazing thing ever than Ohio State having Olave, Wilson, Smith and Jigba, Marv and Emeka in the same room in the same year?
Yeah, I just think I did it. Ooh. It's LSU having Chase and Jefferson and Burrow.
Because those are ones.
They have Burrow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we had first-round pick quarterbacks, but they had those two and Burrow. And a first-round running back.
All right, Baker.
Alabama's got an image like that, too, that's pretty crazy.
Was it like Waddle and Smith?
It's their quarterback image? Oh, no.
No, it was because it was Mac Jones. He was a first-round pick, just like Justin was and like CJ was. But it's a similar thing from a receiver room standpoint. But the Burrow part of it is what makes it nuts.
Baker, have the button ready. Chimney check was burner.
Chimney cheek was.
Hey, guys, what are your preseason Super Bowl predictions?
We'll get to that the week of September, 7th. We always like to get, on this program, we like to be educated first before making outlandish claims. So we're being educated currently with two-a-days.
We'll get a better Super Bowl picks and Texas all in the same week.
It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on that week, which is why the Texas game should be next weekend and Ball State should be this weekend, and then you wouldn't have a problem. I want to be a little bit more educated. I mean, we've given our lean on Cincinnati. I mean, I think Cincinnati's going to win the AFC, so that's how highly I think of them. So I guess I've said that multiple times all summer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just comfortable right now doing a Super Bowl rematch, Bengals-Rams.
Hard to go against that.
It's not lazy either, because damn what they did in the offseason and also staying healthy. I saw this from Andy. He asks it in the YouTube chat, but I'll bring it to air, and I'll make it appropriate for the segment. Hey, guys, who remembers T9 texting? Bo, if you could explain that to your kids, how T9 texting worked, you think they'd be able to pick it up?
I'm trying to. Do
where
I
you
know
had
what it
the phone pad? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9
So, no, no. It seemed like it worked pretty good, though. I mean, I remember being pretty good at it. Like, it would start to learn. There was an AI component to it, and it would get the predictive texting pretty right. So this is the texting without a keyboard. This is before Apple put a keyboard, or I guess it was BlackBerry first, and then Apple put a keyboard on a screen. So this was the old flip phone texting. I remember being pretty good at it, and it is probably the biggest flaw. I mean, there's several, but probably the biggest flaw in one of my favorite movies of the last 25 years, The Departed. The idea that Matt Damon in his pocket could T9 predictively text.
I forgot Jack about Nick. That.
Remember, he's on there on a stakeout, and he's like texting him in his pocket with one of these things. There's just no way that you could ever be that good at texting ever. You would never even. There's just no chance. So, how would I explain it? Be very difficult. I think it would be like trying to teach them. I mean, it'd probably be similar as like saying like you used to have to go to a store to pick out a movie that wasn't always there. Like it's that type of a thing, or that there were like phones on the corners that you could put a quarter in and call people because there was no other way.
So I remember the T9, but I never really did it because I thought it was dumb and I thought it was more difficult than. So I never really did that. I will say the one phone thing I miss, Bo.
Yeah.
I miss the Nextel. Just grabbing it and walkie-talkie and someone. I miss the Nextel.
I never understood that. We had to pack one when I got to my station in Florida. We had to pack one of those Nextel things that had the walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. And I never understood what was the difference from just calling somebody.
It's just how is it any different? You know what I loved is like you run into your friend at the store. You'd see your friend at the store, but they didn't know you were there. And you could beep them and it would go out loud so you could say something like embarrassing. That was my favorite.
Yeah. I got pretty good at the T9 texting.
All I can remember is the beep. Yeah. I don't remember everybody. I never knew a person that had it until you.
They were great.
That's pretty good.
The T9 worked pretty well.
Yeah. That's a major flaw in The Departed. Damon texting while he's in the middle of like warning him not to come to the stakeout. That's a pretty big flaw in that movie. The ability to do that blindly. Jake Trotter in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Get 50% off all window styles plus no payments for 2 years. Visit windownation.com.
Well, hey, buddy, we had a little precedent setting yesterday. The Big Ten first and the SEC followed. Going at it alone to make up their own rules, and we'll see if they could administer them. I couldn't think of it in all my years talking about college athletics. I couldn't think of an instance where two conferences made their own rules without the governing body kind of over it. What did you make of the decision from the Big Ten and then the SEC? The punishments are different. The Big Ten is going after the coaches right now. We don't know the SEC punishes right now. Big Ten's going after the coaches if they play them, and they're going to go after the institutions in terms of fines. But the other thing that was interesting, the Big Ten's, Jake, is there was no mention of like the players being ineligible. They just said if you play them, we're going to punish you.
Yeah, we have some rules, Bo. How about that? My favorite part of this saga was, first of all, of course, the Browns, the team that lost a player to college. Number two, the SEC sent out that initial statement saying, like, we don't think this is a good idea. And we're ignore the fact that it's LSU that is the one setting the precedent here. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it makes sense. I think all the conferences will probably follow suit eventually. And we can move on from this particular situation. But, yeah, I mean, it's just. So many unintended consequences, so many things you would never have thought would have been an issue are now issues now. And yeah, the latest is NFL training camp players going to college.
Yeah. And I think So I think this is going to be fine in football. I think it's going to be really hard to administer this in basketball because, I mean, Ohio State has guys who played overseas in Europe and in South America on their roster right now. And I know everybody does, has this. So I'm very curious how they're going to try to, like, okay, like the SEC had it in there. You can't be a WNBA or NBA player and then come back to the SEC. Well, what about if you played in the EuroLeague? Are you going to say they can't either? And if you're not willing to do that and kick players out, then I think that this thing's going to fall pretty quickly in litigation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when this gets to the courts and somebody challenges it, you know, how is it going to hold up? Based on the way things have been going, probably not very well. And you're right. Like, you have a lot of these college basketball players, you know, they start their careers with these pro teams when they're, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, and they might play, you know, in a EuroLeague team when they're 16, 17.
Yeah.
You know, Luka Doncic, for example, did that before he got drafted. And he was playing, I think, for Real Madrid, you know, for a couple of years. I don't know, Bo. I don't have the answers, but yeah, it's going to be a problem.
It really is. The other thing that I think is going to be interesting is the Big Ten and the SEC kind of creating their own rules. So now that this precedent has been sent, and you're right, Notre Dame followed, the ACC followed, it sounded like the Big 12 is going to follow today if they haven't already. So everybody kind of got in line with the SEC and the Big Ten on this. But it also kind of sets a precedent that we can set our own rules. So now I wonder if instead of complaining about the calendar and the portals and all of these other things, will this now be an off-ramp for those two conferences to start to set some other rules and in turn kind of eliminate the NCAA?
It does feel like we're heading in that direction eventually. You know, it is also hard to see the Big Ten setting a rule that puts them at a disadvantage relative to the SEC if they don't set the rule, right? So, like, if they can do it in conjunction with one another, sort of like what we had with this this week, then maybe that would work, and maybe we'd have some more rules. But it does feel like they're waiting for the Protect College Sports Act to be enacted, if it ever will be. And I think that this was more of a Band-Aid on this particular situation, which kind of came out of nowhere, and, you know, preventing an influx of, you know, training camp cuts from flooding, you know, college football teams.
You think Kiffin will acquiesce? Like,
do I what?
You think Kiffin will acquiesce?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably not.
What a mess.
Yeah, why would he? I mean, I was just reading LSU women's basketball team. You know, they had a Ukrainian player. And they brought in a Russian from overseas, and the Ukrainian player left. I mean, it's an interesting program.
Dude, Will Wade signed the Big East Player of the Year from the 2024-25 season, who was drafted last year by the Jazz and was on the Boston Celtics G League team. He's LSU with Will Wade. They are they're Darth Vader, man.
They're Darth Vader, yeah. And all three coaches, I mean, you couldn't pick a better coach in each sport to represent that either.
No. And by the way, like, if you were back in the beat reporter business, wouldn't that be the one you'd want to be on?
No.
I mean, how much fun is that? You don't want any part of
that? I don't want any part of it.
It's pure interest.
I just got off the Browns beat not that long ago. I need a little bit more time before I'm ready to go back into that world. By the way, you having fun? It feels like we're in week 13 of this Browns football season, and they still have a preseason game left.
Well, I think that's I did this Monday, buddy, on the show. Like, I am so fatigued by camps in general. I mean, the idea that Ohio State doesn't play Ball State, let alone Texas, doesn't play Ball State for another 10 days. I mean, it's August 26th. My body clock is saying this should be week one, and last week should have been week zero, and that the NFL should start in 2 weeks. Like, the idea that NFL camps have 2.5 weeks of practice left before they play games. I know it's just a factor of the calendar this year, the damn Romans, they kind of messed this thing up, but it just isn't. It's weird to me that we still have so long before we play games.
The Cleveland Browns have a starting quarterback that they can't play at home games right now. That's where we are.
Well, if he plays well, they can. I mean, if he plays well in the first two games, they can. You know, I think we're all pretty fickle on this stuff. Like, I think, you know, if there's performance, if you perform well, we'll forgive a lot. And so I think if he plays well the first two games, he can, and we'll go from there. And I think, look, the thing about that, if you want to have that conversation, I mean, this is Todd Monken. I mean, I've said many times on this show and on Cleveland Browns Daily with Nathan, we've said it a lot. Like, Todd Monken is a 6-year-old guy who's getting his first chance to be a head coach. It's a dream job for him to be able to coach in the NFL. He's worked his entire life for this. He's playing the guy that he thinks gives him the best chance to win, full stop, and taking in no other consideration other than that. And so, you know, that's the one thing that was frustrating about all of that, was all the conspiracy nonsense that was out there, when this is just Todd Monken thinks Deshaun Watson gives him the best chance to win in Jacksonville in week one.
No, that's actually 100% correct. This was Todd
Monken's
call. But
I know it is.
I do think that, you know, if you gave him truth serum, I don't think he's fired up about either quarterback right now, the way that they performed in training camp. And it's kind of a shame that this whole, you know, Watson with the fan saga has overshadowed the fact, man, they've got a really fun, exciting young core that I think is going to be really fun to watch this year. When you talk about, you know, Concepcion, Boston, Fannin, Justin's, yeah. Schlesinger verse. But man, just the quarterback drama, it's like we can't get over it. It's just ever present here in Cleveland. And you know, somebody was texting me the other day, like, how is it that the Browns seem like they're always a you know what show, and Ohio State is just an absolute methodical machine? They're kind of boring in that sense. Like, they don't have a lot of the headlines that say Michigan has. And you know, I think I think Ryan Day deserves a lot of credit for that. It's
50 years. Ohio State's never hired a bad coach. Every coach they've hired is a Hall of Famer. Every single one in my whole life. 60 years. I mean, Woody Hayes to Earl Bruce to John Cooper to Jim Tressel to Urban Meyer to Ryan Day. Every one of them's a Hall of Famer. Every one. Never a miss. They're Real Madrid. They're the anomaly. They are not the norm. Every other program in major college football, Jake, has had a misfire. You're an Oklahoman. Misfires at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's a lot like Ohio State in terms of what it means and the excellence and all of it. Oklahoma's had misfires. Alabama's had misfires.
Even since 2000, like everybody, every great power in college football has had, like, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 years where they weren't up to snuff. I don't think Ohio State has had that.
Like, only the Tressel, when they moved off of Tressel and Luke had to coach with like half a roster because he lost his quarterback, running back, his receiver. That was the only year where.
But it was 1 year. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, 2, 3 years where, okay, you're kind of fighting for bowl eligibility. You're 7-5. I mean, you know, USC has had that. Oklahoma, Texas had that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this millennium. You know, Michigan is kind of going through it right now. I mean, it look what's happened to Clemson. I mean, Alabama's not what they once were. And I thought the most impressive thing about Ohio State, just like where they are, I did not think that they deserved to be like the clear-cut number one team preseason. I just think there are question marks, and I think that there's a lot of other options out there. But the deference nationally that's been given to Ohio State by the coaches and the media, I think speaks to, like, they're kind of what Alabama was under Saban now, where they're just like, you know what, we don't really care who's on the roster. Like, they're just preseason top three regardless.
I think you give Ohio State your number one vote, they're not going to embarrass you. They're not going to Penn State you last year. They're not going to Clemson you. Worst case scenario, they're going 10-2. Worst case. They're making the playoff, they're going 10-2. So I think, you know, with all of these teams having questions, and I've said on this show, like, I probably would have had Oregon number one, even though they're losing, but they lost both of their coordinators that they have to replace. And I do think the offensive one's a big one, but I probably would have had Oregon one, Ohio State two or three, somewhere in there, but they're going to be in the top three. And if I had to bet on anybody who was going to be there and be in the playoff and all of those things, it's Ohio State. So I think that's kind of where people come with that, is they know that they're not going to embarrass you with your number one overall pick to start the year.
Who are you picking to win the national championship?
I can't do that till on August 26th. We can do that next week. We do that game week. We're not quite game week yet.
I'm going to ask you again next week.
Game week.
I'm leaning in a direction, and I feel like it's definitely going to burn me, but.
Well, didn't you get burnt by Penn State last year?
I didn't take him to win. Did I take him to win the national championship? I couldn't have done that.
You liked him
I
a
was
lot.
Very high
Powell
on
and I were I both was, trying to warn you.
Tyvus still won't let me.
Yeah, we're trying to warn you.
I know.
We can only take you to water, buddy. Can't make you drink.
Never again. Although I do think there's a different energy at Penn State.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can shake that inability to win a big game.
All right, buddy. Good stuff. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time.
All right. See ya.
There he goes. Jake Trotter, senior college football reporter at ESPN on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Love football. Love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Sponsored by Roosters. A fun casual joint.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
On Tuesday, Akron football announced the winner of their OC of the game presented by Arby's Steak Nuggets contest. A Zips fan named Martin's going to script the first drive of Akron's game against Robert Morris on September 12th. The team posted a video of a phone call between Martin and Zips head coach Joe Moorhead, and then the two met at an Akron area Arby's. Moorhead said Martin will need to be there the day before that game to meet the team and script the opening drive. Thing or not a thing?
Awesome thing. Good for Akron thinking outside the box. The social media on this has been fun. They probably padded their bank account a little bit with the Arby's tie into this. We have talked about Akron a bunch here in the last month because of this. Otherwise, we wouldn't. Same is true for all of the... I saw Big Cat was involved on this and one of the finalists. So this is really smart by somebody at Akron. Do I think that this guy is going to call the plays on the opening drive? No. I don't. I think Moorhead's going to sit down with him, and they're going to come up with a scripted drive that he did, but it's going to just be Moorhead's calls. So it's kind of a perfect little bit of an attention getter for a program that desperately needs it. So good job out of everybody up in Akron with the Zips for thinking outside the box on this.
Great job out of the university. The video that they put out announcing this was... pretty funny. It's basically an Arby's commercial, and I think they said Arby's is the official sponsor of Akron Athletics, so I don't know if that means a jersey patch or not, but good job out of them. And I'm also glad here, and I know this would have got more publicity for Akron if they would have rigged this so Big Cat won it, but I believe this person that won it is actually an Akron season ticket holder and has been. And I'm glad it's that. Like, I'm glad that Akron sold a lot of tickets for this and made a lot of money for their program and the university. But I'm glad that it's a true Akron fan that is winning this and getting to do so.
Yeah, this Martin is a longtime season ticket holder for the Zips. And the university's saying they generated 23 million views across their social media platforms and sold out their season tickets for the first time in ever.
Awesome. Great for them. Good job.
Earlier this month, the University of Miami, the one in Florida, dismissed wide receiver Cam Vaughn before he played a single game for the Hurricanes. Mario Cristobal never explained why the West Virginia transfer was dismissed. With the Mountaineers last year, Vaughn had 35 catches for 541 yards and 4 touchdowns. On Tuesday, Vaughn filed a lawsuit against the university and the NCAA in Miami-Dade County, requesting a judge allow him to enter the transfer portal. His lawyers told On3, quote, on August 17th, Miami dismissed Cam and canceled his scholarship with no written explanation, no identified rule violation, and no hearing. Miami then refused to submit the waiver request the NCAA requires so he can enter the transfer portal, leaving Cam without the ability to pursue his education or a team to play for. We are asking the court to hold Miami and the NCAA responsible for their failures to Cam and grant him the relief he needs so he can continue his education and career. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
Interesting precedent potentially here. My hunch is, and I haven't read in on this, so this is, take it with a grain of salt. My hunch is this is similar to the thing that happened at Texas over the weekend. I'm wondering if some of these coaches are starting to fight back in the only way that they can. I wonder if this is about accountability. Right? Is this their only course of action that they can kind of take here? Is because they have none. They have no accountability as it stands right now. So, like, I saw some guys kicked off at Texas last weekend. I wonder if this is kind of these programs kind of policing themselves a little bit.
Maybe so. And I think this is also something that comes with this territory. Like, you wanted all this money. Well, it seemed like it used to be colleges would, if they, I know scholarships were year to year, but it seemed like they used to uphold those and they would keep you for 4 years if they gave you one. Maybe that's not going to be the case anymore. Like, hey, you're getting paid and you're not performing. See you later. We don't know what happened in this situation here. The one thing I would say with all of this is I don't think it's everybody's right to play football in college.
No.
Some people aren't good enough, or some people just don't behave well enough. And again, I don't know what this kid did. Maybe he didn't do anything, and he deserves another shot at this or a fair shake. But I'm guessing he did something. Something probably pretty wrong to get kicked off of the Miami football team of all teams. So, you know, dude, sometimes you forfeit your privilege to do something you want to do in life.
We talked about the Washington football team yesterday. The Commanders, it was reported yesterday, are selling merch in their official team store with the old Redskins logo. The franchise says the reason is trademark law. Quote, we are required to maintain the marks in commercial usage so that the marks remain under franchise control. End quote. Commanders maintain, though, they are not going back to the Redskins name. Thing or not a thing?
I think it's a truthful thing. I'm pretty sure, and I haven't been up there in a while, but I suppose it's been more than a while. But well, I went to a game, but I get this about a month ago with those buddies of mine, but I didn't actually go in the team shop. But I think the same is true with the Guardians, that they still sell a little bit of Wahoo stuff or a little bit of Indian stuff in their team shop to maintain the commercial trademark part of it. I think all of this is very, very true. Here's what I would do if I were the Washington Commanders. That logo is an incredible sense of pride for Native Americans around this country. How do we know that? Because the guy who drew it is a Blackfeet Indian from Montana named Blackie Wetzel, and he said it. And he wanted his logo back, and Snyder wouldn't give it to him when they took it away. But there's a great sense of pride in that logo. The name's another issue entirely, and I totally understand that. But the logo's really cool, and I think if the Washington Commanders could sell it and put a charitable part of a donation into Native American issues, which there are many, if they could put a charitable donation to it, perhaps there's a win for everybody here for them. And maybe there could be a situation where they bring that logo back and put it on the helmet and just don't refer to them by that name. Maybe there's a way back there. I watched firsthand as Florida State navigated these waters with the Seminole thing about 20 years ago. And they were, you give them full credit, they were expert in it. They really were, and they still, I think, are a great sense of pride. I know they are, of the Seminole Tribe of Florida for everything that they did down there. So it's just about the way you do it. I think Washington has a chance with these new ownership to maybe be able to find a bridge back to the logo.
So, Bo, I don't think this is a thing because I don't believe they're ever going back to that name. And I would guess that that logo probably is never coming back either. The one thing I will say that is a thing about all this, if you watch the video of the sports reporter that's doing the story, the shirt looks like crap. Yeah. It looks like something that you pick up at, you know, Walmart or whatever local discount store. Like, it looks awful. It looks like it's a thick old cotton t-shirt that they just screen printed some generic looking numbers and a picture of Art Monk on. Like, Art Monk alone deserves better than that t-shirt. So
I think this proves their point, though, that they're not really interested in selling a ton of it. They just have to keep keep it out there for the trademark.
Yeah, but don't you want to make something look nice? I mean, especially for Art Monk.
But I don't think they want to sell a lot of it, Bake, is the point. That's kind of my read on it.
Maybe so. I think they're going to see a
lot. But it doesn't look good.
I think you're going to see a lot of those in your, I don't know, like your Marshalls or your TJ Maxx soon.
No, they won't do that, though. It'll only be at the team shop. Same thing with the Guardians are the same thing. You can only get the Wahoo in the team shop. That's it. So, like, if they're not bought there, you're not getting them anywhere else. All right, final hour on a first Friday. Your Dolly Parton officially endorsed coming up in about 50 minutes from now. Right now, though, we hit you with a little bit of two-a-days. That's up next. We are in the NFC East, the Eagles and the Cowboys, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The Buckeyes are ranked number one, so let's talk about them. Endless Buckeye conversation awaits you on your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan.
Men, erect.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since August 2nd, the Cleveland Guardians have a record better than 500. They'll look to extend their win streak to 7 games with a win today against the Angels. First pitch from Anaheim is 4:07. Guardians are 2.5 games back of the White Sox for the top spot in the Central. As for the Reds, Cincinnati looks to halt a 3-game slide, playing the Giants in San Francisco today at 3:45. You can hear that game over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. The NFL preseason wraps up this week. The Browns host the Patriots tomorrow night at 8. We'll have the Todd Monken Coaches Show on The Fan tonight after the Buckeyes show. Bengals go for a perfect preseason 3-0 against the Eagles Friday night in Philly, and all four major college football conferences are preparing to ban NFL players from coming back to school. This update sponsored by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences, tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first round postseason game. Register today and every day at roosterswings.com.
On YouTube, search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a First Friday edition of your program. You're officially endorsed coming in about 45 minutes from now. For right now, though, we are closing out the NFC East in two-a-days with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Hit it, boys.
Bishop and Friends present two-a-days, our professional preseason preview of all 32 teams. Will your favorite team win it all this season? I doubt it.
Well, this team has been a team that's not only won Super Bowls with a plural in the last decade or so, but are consistently in the mix. Last year, they were 11-6, were the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost in the wild card round to the 49ers 23-19. It does feel like this is a bit of a changing of the guard in Philadelphia. Not just, obviously, the losses that they've had up front. They've had guys who've been in the mix for a long time. You think all the way back to Jason Kelce a couple of years ago, and they've just kind of been phasing some of these guys out who were critical members of their championship team from just a couple of years ago, most notably this year, A.J. Brown, wide receiver, who is now in New England. They have attempted to bridge that gap wide receiver in all sorts of ways. They brought in a bunch of free agents, and in the first round, most famously, they swooped in before Pittsburgh was able to take Mekhi Lemon, and they drafted him 20th overall. So he comes in. They have some new faces on the offense and defensive side of the ball. But to me, what this season will be mostly for them is a referendum and kind of a is Jalen Hurts somebody who we're going to continue to build around for a long time? And it's really one of the more tricky conversations in the National Football League is the Jalen Hurts conversation. Obviously, there was an issue between Hurts and A.J. Brown and the way that all of the offense was conducted over the last couple of years. The hard thing, if your ownership or your Sirianni or your anybody involved with the decision-making in Philadelphia is, this guy's been in two Super Bowls, and he was the best player in both Super Bowls. He's the MVP of one, and had they won the other game, probably would have been in that one. And so you know that he can take you to the mountaintop. Age-wise, he's very young. It'd be naive not to say that there are not quite to this extent, but there are some Russell Wilson vibes, I think, with him is kind of the feeling that you get around Jalen Hurts in Philly. But also, like, he just wins, and he wins a lot. And if they have a healthy Saquon Barkley back and these weapons, if Mekhi Lemon lives up to, you know, being a first-round pick, 20th overall, and you pair him with Devonta Smith and some of the other weapons they have, Dallas Goedert back, offensive line, obviously a little bit of a step back since Kelce left a couple of years ago, but they still have Lane Johnson in the mix there. A lot of familiarity. All five guys come back. On the defensive side of the ball, their defensive line is just absolutely terrifying and just wreaks havoc on everybody. The linebacker room's pretty good. Corner's solid. Everything's pretty good. Hard to imagine that not being a playoff team, but really this one will just come down to can Jalen Hurts, is there another level for Jalen Hurts as an NFL quarterback? And this is a little bit of a referendum this year on his stay in Philly, even though he is already a Super Bowl champion. It reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson. It does. I don't know if it's quite as awkward between him and the organization as it got with Wilson. But to be fair on Wilson, we didn't know it got awkward until it did. Nobody knew about it. It's not like there were whispers. I suppose if you're like Tyvus, you're in the building, maybe you felt it a little bit, but we didn't feel it outside. It was let Russ cook and all of those things. Hurts last year, 65%, 32-24, 25 touchdowns, 6 picks. He had another 8 rushing touchdowns, but he was down in the rushing category, down to just 8 rushing touchdowns. His previous 4 years was 10, 13, 15, 14, down just 421 yards. Previously, it was 630, 605, 760, 784. So they've always leaned on his ability to run. It's a remarkable career already for him. Like, if it stops tomorrow, he's an Eagles Hall of Famer and all of those things. But I do think, like, they're at kind of a bit of a tipping point in terms of which direction they're going to go here. And I think this year is going to go a long way in telling them.
Year 6 with Nick Sirianni in the city of brotherly love, and they haven't missed the playoffs. And
no.
And so you're right about the point with when life comes at you fast, it hits you like a Mack truck. And especially in the NFL with this, I wonder, you know, how long can Jalen Hurts' body keep up with how much they insist on the tush push? Mm-hmm. They're the only team that's been able to make that rugby style play work. The Mekhi Lemon was diabolical.
It was.
In how the Steelers were on the phone with him, and then his agent said, "No, sir, you're going to Pennsylvania. That's the state you will be playing your professional football in." It's just on the other side of things. I mean, I look at this Eagles team and I say, "Yeah, go win the Super Bowl, or at least go make a run to it." You know, so they lose to the 49ers, but then the 49ers get bombed by the Seattle Seahawks, who end up becoming Super Bowl champs. But for Philadelphia, a Week 10 bye. The schedule sets up, in my opinion, pretty well to end that Week 10. You know exactly what this Philly squad's going to be.
I don't know if there's been a better team the last 10 years at the NFL draft than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Personnel-wise, too, no.
And when you draft well, unfortunately, eventually you have decisions to make. You have to pay those guys, or you have to let them move on and trust that you're going to draft another one of those. And that's kind of the position that they've been in here recently. Like, N'Kobe Dean is gone off of this team. They decided to pay Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and those guys. They're going to have decisions soon in their secondary with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell and some of those guys. When I look at this team, you don't see a lot of holes, and they've done a great job of preparing for the future. The one thing that worries me about this team is all of their receivers seem like slot receivers. They don't have a big 6'4" A.J. Brown, who's gone now, go up and get the football. And that's the one thing that worries me. Jalen Hurts has always had that safety blanket where he could, hey, A.J.'s down there, throw it up and go get it. I don't know who that guy is. Devontae Smith's really good. Mekhi Lemon's really good. Hollywood Brown, Elijah Moore, like, they have their positives to them. None of them are just high point the ball guys, though.
No. No, it's a great point out of you. They don't have anybody who can just run the fade into the corner of the end zone. They don't have that guy right now. Let's hit the categories on the Eagles. Coach grade for Nick Sirianni. Reese, what do you got?
You
got
to give him an A. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won one of them.
I gave him a B+ here, and the only reason I didn't go A is it just seems to be like there's a little bit of unrest around him and the players all the time, and I don't know if that's his fault or not, but there just seems to always be something right under the surface with this Eagles team where if it's not going perfect, there's an issue that pops up.
Yeah, I'm going to go A-. I take your point and factor it in a little bit. I think it would have to be an A other than that. There is a lot of drama around there, but it seems like he's comfortable in the drama to a certain extent, and he's got a Super Bowl win, and he's played in another one, and they're constantly in the mix, so it's hard to go lower than that. Uniform grade for the Eagles, Reese?
I think they're a B+. Their uniforms are fine normally. The Kelly Greens are gorgeous. Those are an A+, so you'd average out a B+.
Yeah, I gave him a B- on this. I've never been a huge fan of the color green in my life. And when they do wear those throwback Kelly greens, they pop. Mm-hmm. But I don't I don't love like the dark green black mixture that they've got going on. Never been in love with these uniforms.
So this is an example of an owner who redid uniforms and he really likes them, so they're stuck in them. That's why the midnight green is what they stick with, because Jeffrey Lurie bought the team. They redesigned them. He loves them, so he loves that shade and that color of green, because the Kelly greens are, that's the uniform. So I'm going to go B minus here, because I don't love the midnight green. I think the Kelly green's an A plus, 10 out of 10, but they just don't wear them.
And if I was him, I'd love them too, because I've won a lot of football games in them.
That's it. That's the other thing. It's just like the Patriots with the Flying Elvis. It's like the Broncos with their uniforms when they did them, even though the older ones are cooler. Once you've won in them, then there's an affection for them as well. One franchise great you could add to this team, Reese.
So this goes to Baker's point of that big wide receiver that you just throw the ball up to is Terrell Owens.
Hmm. Jeez.
He's there. Throw it.
People forget how good he was.
I thought of T.O. I thought of Chris Carter. I thought of A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown had like 1,000 yards receiving it every year he was in Philadelphia.
I also thought of Reggie White here.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I loved Randall Cunningham growing up. This is no shot at Jalen Hurts. But I've always wondered what Randall Cunningham, and maybe it's Lamar Jackson, maybe that's the answer, what Randall Cunningham would look like in the modern day NFL. But I'd love to see it on this Eagles team.
I think because he was big, too. It's probably similar to Cam. Like when Cam was humming in Carolina, when Cam won the MVP.
I think he was as thick as Cam.
He wasn't, but I mean, height-wise, he had that height to him. I mean, he was a long strider. He was incredible. Yeah, I'm going to go Chris Carter here. Like, I'm not going to overthink this too much, but Terrell Owens would be pretty tough to beat. His apex, and it may have been in Philly. He may have been as good as he ever was in Philly. Franchise tier for the Philadelphia Eagles, Reese.
This is an S tier. They won Super Bowls. They've drafted well. They've developed well. They've done free agency well. Even the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, says the Eagles, they're going to need a new stadium for some reason. They're staying in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had written down on my paper A, but I think this is an S tier.
I agree. I think there's only a handful of S-tiers, and this is an S-tier franchise. They have everything you want. Diehard fan base, loves them to death. Philly absolutely loves the birds. The colors, the brand, the winning, the front office, the cohesiveness, ownership, all of it. The only thing that they don't do, in my opinion, is just the uniform, but that's pretty good still. So, yeah, it's an S. The Eagles are certainly a model NFL franchise. Win it all, playoffs, building or busting, Reese.
I don't know if this team will win it all, but certainly it's built to, you have to. Philadelphia, with the team they've got, the expectations are go win it.
Yeah, I think they believe it's win it all. I believe it's playoffs for them.
I think the way you phrase it is how I would think of it as well, Bake. I think they're a playoff team. I don't think that they can win it all, but I'm sure that there will be a playoff team. And I'm sure in their mind, they have everything they need to win it all, which speaks to that S tier that they acquire, that they are so often in. Here's another team that believes that they've put everything together to be able to win it all this year. Do you believe in it? We'll do the Dallas Cowboys up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
We play this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
The Buckeyes take down Minnesota in one of the biggest comebacks in college football history.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Pretty quiet as we go throughout the rest of your Wednesday. Mid to high level clouds pass on by. We'll say partly sunny overall with highs in the lower 80s. Tonight there's a slight chance of a passing shower or storm, otherwise partly cloudy, mid 60s. For your Thursday, similar story, slight chance of a shower or storm, mainly in the afternoon. Most of us are dry though, with a partly sunny sky and highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly and always sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 8 decades. Two-a-days continues with the Dallas Football Cowboys. 7-9-1 last year were Jerry's team. Key additions, they got a bunch of them. Caleb Downs, obviously, at the top of that list. Von Miller coming in there as well. Malachi Lawrence coming in the first round at linebacker. So reinforcements coming on the defensive side of the ball in a big, big way. In terms of losses, not a whole lot. This is a team that feels like it's ready to go, certainly in the eyes of Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. Can you guys name anything else in full stop, anything else that has not been at any point in your lifetime, or the, I shouldn't say at any point in your lifetime, because it, I mean, I remember a time when this was the model franchise with Jerry and Jimmy and all of that, and then they were the team, the giant behemoth in the early 90s. But in the last 30 years, this is a franchise that has never been close to scaling the mountaintop, but yet has continued to be not only America's team in terms of merchandise and ratings, but also in franchise valuation. They're revered. They are known. They are famous. And they haven't won anything in 30 plus years. It's a strange thing. I was trying to think of anything else. It's even from like a automotive something, it would be kind of like if, I don't know, like Mercedes-Benz or I don't know, pick one that is like universally kind of so popular, so revered as and known and famous and all of it, but hasn't really delivered in a long time and is getting by on just reputation and brand for 30 years.
There is nothing like the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't think so. Maybe if the Lakers like didn't win all the championships with Shaq and Kobe and
yeah, I've got a ton of Lakers championships etched in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Dallas Cowboys winning the Super Bowl.
No. It's just goes to show you what a great businessman Jerry Jones is and how he has done everything to keep them relevant and in the public's eye. And I mean, nobody does it like him. I think,
no.
I don't know what's number one in his life. Like, I don't know if, because he won Super Bowls early on. So I don't know if he's worried about that or just making billions and billions of dollars.
I think I think you're right. And I think people have asked that question. And sometimes when I've become a little bit more involved, you know, in the NFL, I've kind of noticed this as well from the standpoint of like, they're not particularly great. They don't like sign a lot of free agents. It's usually bargain basement guys wanting to come in and, you know, and be a part of it. He's very loyal with his players. Bob's talked about that in terms of like, if you do him right, he will make sure and take care of you financially.
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett forever. Tony Romo forever. You know, I mean, like he's all of that. But since they won the Super Bowl in 95, it's been 30 years. I don't believe they've won a playoff game since. Oh no, they won one in 96. They won a wild card playoff game against the Vikings in 96. I do not believe they have not. They did in 09. They beat the Eagles in a wild card game in 2009. So they have one playoff win, or is it two? One more in 14. So they've got two playoff wins, three. Okay, they got a couple. But they haven't been to an NFC championship game since 1995. That was the last time they've been to a championship game. It's been that long since they've been to a conference championship game. You look at this team now, this year's version of this team, not a whole lot of holes, guys. I mean, this team is pretty well positioned to make a run in the NFC East. We had our guest on yesterday from Washington who picked them to win the division. I get it. I certainly get it. I understand what you're looking at. I think Caleb Downs is going to be a star right out of the gates for them. They were pretty good in terms of free agency and buoying the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, it's just if you believe in Prescott, because they have made as good receivers as anywhere with Pickens and Lamb and then Ferguson at tight end. So offensive line, they're pretty good. I don't know that I put them in the category of like the Rams and the Seahawks is like, go win it. But I'm sure in their minds they are.
Well, their minds are every season. Doesn't it feel like, especially like, I mean, Jerry's always in win this now. The fans similarly. Again, for the how many years has Dak been quarterback in this team? They go as where Dak takes them. And I don't remember a quarterback. He's been there since 2016. He was 13-3 in his first year as a starter with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't remember a quarterback for this long where people have had one opinion or another of him. And I mean by one opinion or another, it's been like he's a bum or he's the best quarterback in the league.
I think Romo was the same way with the Lions.
Very similar with Tony. Yeah, and very similar.
Are the Cowboys the team that has suffered the most from, yeah, but what if, with their quarterback position? Because like, well, we may not have the guy, but what if the next guy's worse than this guy?
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think that either Romo or Prescott, and they're kind of like, I mean, I think both of them are kind of like Goff. Like, they're really good.
Well, what did the Rams do?
Right, yeah. But like they did. But also, like, the Seahawks just won a championship with Darnold, and nobody would confuse Darnold with Matt Stafford. He's had a really nice renaissance. So, like, if you don't have one of those guys, you have to make sure you have everything around it. I think both Prescott and Romo, I think Prescott has become a little bit underrated. I mean, just last year, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's 67%, 45, 52, 30, and 10. 2 years ago when he wasn't hurt, 70%, 45, 16, 36, and 9. It's like when he's healthy, he's thrown for 5,000 yards and 35 touchdowns and 8-9 picks. That's just what he does. So is everything else around him in a position to take advantage? That's kind of the question again this year. And honestly, from the looks of it, kind of might be. Coaching grade as we hit the categories on the Dallas Cowboys. And this coach is a perfect example of Jerry doing what Jerry does sometimes, Bake. Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I've got this as a C because I just don't know. We just don't have enough data points here on Brian Schottenheimer. And last year, they were just a middling team. So I guess that's where I got to go as a C here.
Yeah, an average team last year, an average record. But I'll never forget they Friday news dumped the head coach of the Dallas freaking Cowboys, which told me all I needed to know about how they as an organization felt about him.
I think it's an F because and even just from the standpoint of would anybody else in the league have hired Brian Schottenheimer to be the head coach when they hired him?
It's a great point.
How many would have even hired him to be the offensive coordinator when they hired him to be the head coach? I think he was only getting the job there because he was tight with Jerry. So, I mean, he's been fired as an offensive coordinator all over the place. So, yeah, I don't think that this is the answer at all, but this is Jerry kind of being Jerry. Uniform grade on the Cowboys, Bake?
I mean, it's an A. You know exactly who it is when you see it. It is kind of weird that they have, like, three different shades of blue.
They do.
And I know it's tradition. I wish they would wear the Navy uniforms more, their away uniforms. They're one of the few teams that, like, I think it's only when they go to the Redskins, or the Commanders, excuse me, that they wear the blue. It's weird that they wear the whites all the time, but this is an A.
It's an A. They're recognized everywhere on the planet. I like their throwbacks where it's the blue and then the whites on the side, or the whites on the shoulders. I just wish they would get off of Thanksgiving every year. Like, can I get somebody else?
I think it's an A+, and I think the quirkiness makes a part of it. I brought this up years ago. Like, I noticed that they had the three blues. They have, like, this aqua light blue on the pants, and then they have royal blue that's, like, in the names and the numbers, but then they have navy blue and the star. And then they're also, I think, the only team in the NFL where the road uniform is not an opposite of the home. The road uniform's entirely different. It's got a star on the sleeve. The home uniform doesn't. It's a really quirky uniform package, but it's an A++. It just hits for all of the reasons. It's just quirky, and you just see it immediately and know what it is. One franchise great you could add to this team, Reese.
Man, Terrell Owens was pretty good for the Dallas Cowboys. It's Emmitt Smith.
So, I hate their running back room for the Cowboys. But I was a Barry Sanders guy, so I'll be damned if I'm going to say Emmitt Smith. Give me Tony Dorsett.
Well, we can stay in the running back room, and I'll go with the guy who helped me train NBC. I had to go in the big boy potty, and I'm going to bring Zeke back.
Pretty good.
That's good.
You could do that, too. So those three, you take any one of them, and you'd all be great. Deion Sanders would be quite a bit of fun on this team as well, if you put him on this team returning punts and playing corner. But, it's the running back room that's kind of the one weak spot. Franchise tier for the Cowboys. This is tricky because they haven't really won much. They're always in the mix, and they're the most valuable.
So I'm giving them an A here. If this was 1996, it's S tier.
Yeah.
But they haven't had success at the highest level on the field in a long, long time. But, I mean, everything else. Like, this might be the biggest brand in sports outside of, like, a Real Madrid or one of the soccer franchises over in England. So, yeah, this is an A, and it's an S if they could win another Super Bowl sometime.
Yeah, they're the franchise I think is just hitting their head on the barrier between an A and an S tier. Yep. Everything else just wins, and the money they're worth, the money that Jerry makes, they can't win it.
Yeah, that, I think you guys summed it up perfectly. They're an A. They can't be an S because they haven't won in a really long time and haven't really been close in a really long time. But everything else is off the charts. Win it all, playoffs busting or building for the Dallas Cowboys, Bick?
So, this should be playoffs, but I think in a tough NFC, they come up just short. Like, I think they're the eighth team and seven of them get in. So that's, I don't think it's a build, so I think it's got to be a bust if they don't make it in the playoffs.
You talk to Dallas Cowboys fans, this is the year for them, right? So win the Super Bowl. Playoffs should be the goal.
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. I think this is a very interesting team this year. It could be a very interesting team, but I think they're a playoff team, and I think they'll be in the mix in the NFC East. Jess Haney covers the Cowboys at Blogging the Boys. He'll join us in 2 minutes for a local perspective. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get some perspective on the Dallas Cowboys and the NFC East. And for that, we head out on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with Jess Haney covers the Cowboys at Blogging the Boys. Jess, thank you so much for taking the time. Let's just as a jumping off point, we were talking about the Cowboys and the brand and all of it in general. It's the most lucrative brand in all of sports and all of those things. Haven't reached a mountaintop since 1995. In those 30 years, what is kind of the view locally where you are of Jerry and the Cowboys and kind of all of it?
Well, I can't speak for locally because I'm actually in Virginia. I'm not a Dallas guy.
Okay.
Myself. I mean, as far as just Cowboys fans and the ones I talk to throughout the country, including Dallas, I mean, everyone has always said we love Jerry the owner. We just wish he wasn't the GM. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the brand, when it comes to just the way the Cowboys do that kind of business, it's great. I think I saw an article just the other day where some writer from Philly, of all places, was like ranking the press box experience of all the different teams that he's gone and done things at. He rated Dallas number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they do those things right. They know how to put on a show. But then, you know, the GM side is where it's been lacking.
Yeah, it's wild because you're right. They do the other things right. He crushes the branding of the Cowboys. He knocks that out of the park. Like, all of those things, the business side of it, they've crushed. The new facilities, off the charts, all of that. But the wins just haven't been there. But they've been competitive, and they've had a bunch of good quarterbacks, and they got a good one now in Dak Prescott. And they've got a roster, as I look at this one now, that – I don't know if I'm ready to go Rams, Seahawks, but why can't this team win the NFC East? It feels like they're kind of set up in a position where they can make a run at Philly atop the division. What say you on that?
Absolutely. I mean, the NFC last year was the first time the NFC East has had a repeat winner in like 20 years. I mean, so this division almost always has a new champion every season. Dallas seems like they're the front runner to do it. The one thing at this point that feels like the biggest X factor is Dak Prescott staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dak stays healthy, I mean, it's hard to imagine this team not at least getting back to the playoffs. And even if that's as a wild card team, you know, we'll take it.
What is the kind of the relationship with Prescott and the fans?
Oh, there will be a contingent of Cowboys fans that are always going to be anti-Dak, seemingly regardless of what he does. It's the crowd that's still mad about Tony Romo not getting his job back, or they lump Dak in with the whole 30 years of Super Bowl failure. But I have seen, I think especially over the last couple of years, just a much harder swing towards more and more fans appreciating what we have in Dak. His consistency, yes, his success has so far been all regular season, but I mean, he's a borderline MVP candidate most regular seasons when he's mm-hmm. When he's healthy and when he's got the talent around him. He's been in that conversation multiple times. with different offensive coordinators and so on. So I think we've seen that shift a lot more to the positive.
Yeah, I would hope so. I tell you, when you don't have one of them, then you realize what you got when you don't. You have one of our guys in the back end of your defense in Caleb Downs. Obviously, we saw firsthand what he did here at Ohio State for 2 years and was the best player on the field anytime he was on the field, except potentially sometimes in his own practice when Jeremiah Smith was there. But in terms of how they will deploy Caleb and the early returns on what they think he can do for them, what are you hearing?
I've heard the word special thrown around a lot this offseason, and not just back in April. I mean, since OTAs, training camp, preseason games, that word is continuing to get used by his coaches, by his teammates, and you just don't see that very often. Usually, it's almost like there's a unofficial effort to make the rookie humble, keep mm-hmm. him grounded, keep him focused. But people have no issue espousing praise on Downs and what they think he can be and maybe already is to a degree. It's been funny because, you know, the name that's really been coming out of this draft class so far is the linebacker, Jayshon Barham. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the rage right now in Dallas. So in a way it's been nice because it's taken some of that spotlight off Downs and let him just focus, but there's been no lack of positivity about him. And it sounds like he is going to be working primarily as a slot corner, or slot defender, right now in his rookie year.
Well, that'll work because he plays very well in there and he can be very disruptive in the run game and off blitzes as well. So that'll be something where they can really deploy him. Talking to Jess Haney, covers the Cowboys at Blogging the Boys. If Dallas, I guess, what is your view? It's August 26th. What is your ceiling of this team? Like, in your view, is this a Super Bowl contender?
I would have a really hard time saying that, like, without having seen Christian Parker's defense in a real game.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
This was one of the worst defenses in the history of the Cowboys last year. So we got to see some things. But if they hit the ground running in September, which is also not something this team does often, then I'm probably going to go off the rails with my excitement and expectations. I'm still at that point of like, okay, let's cool off. Let's actually see these guys in a real game. I do think that week one is going to be interesting because the Giants are also getting that kind of, hey, we've really done something this offseason. There's a lot of excitement in Big Blue right now too. So I think that's going to be a really awesome week one matchup.
Jess, how did you think Brian did in year one?
I mean, I feel like he got sabotaged by the defense in terms of results. So, you know, obviously the record wasn't great, but what he does from a leadership standpoint is just, it just jumps out. I mean, you just watch this guy for a few press conferences, you see him in the post games, and you just see the way the team is talking and the team is behaving. He is definitely a leader, a culture maker. That part he's got down. But I used to feel the same way about Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, Jason never really figured out the X's and O's and certain aspects of being the head coach to the point I would have liked. TBD on Brian, but it's a good start. It's a really good start. And I think one of the things that I love most is it's obvious he has Jerry's ear.
Yeah.
The front office is behaving in a very different way right now. And whether that's Jerry taking a step back and like letting the Stephen Jones and Will McClay start taking over more, or if that's truly Brian Schottenheimer's influence, I feel like the relationship between the head coach and the front office is as healthy as it's been in a long time.
Jess, I'll get you out of here on this one. Before we've played a game acknowledging that, what is your pecking order 1 through 4 in the East?
Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Commanders.
Okay. All right. It's going to be a fun division. It always is, but it's going to be a fun division
this
year.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders could win the NFC South, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be tight,
I agree.
For sure.
It will be. Great stuff, man. Appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Jess Haney joining us, blogging the boys on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Get you three things you're officially endorsed. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on
State Football. Training Camp Report.
This report is brought to you statewide by Safe Light Auto Glass and Bob's Discount Furniture. Senior tight end Mason Williams played in Ohio Stadium last season as an Ohio Bobcat. Now, he is going through his first camp as an Ohio State Buckeye, where he looks to bring his versatility to the same field he stepped on last year, this time in the scarlet and gray.
It's being able to put my hand in the dirt and move people at the point of attack, but also being able to, you know, be split out wide and have that confidence in myself to go make a play and be able to move around, motion, shift, kind of do all that thing that needs to be done and have that mental capacity to, they can throw something on my plate the day of a game and I'm going to go out there and get it done.
When he announced his commitment to Ohio State, Williams heard from a lot of people, to say the least.
You know, your mom puts it out there on Facebook. I'm getting Facebook DMs and stuff. It was crazy. I couldn't go anywhere around, you know, Mogador without getting stopped. Hey, congratulations. You know, that was awesome. So it was a pretty surreal feeling.
We'll have more after this.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Senior tight end Mason Williams comes to Ohio State from Ohio University, following a similar path to former Buckeye and current Miami Dolphins tight end Will Kaczmarek.
I know Will Kaz as soon as I got to OU. He kind of took me in. He was kind of my mentor there. So seeing him kind of take that transition, obviously, kind of put that into me, like, that's a possibility. So being able to continue that legacy, and, I mean, obviously you guys saw what he did on the field last year and the year before and what he's doing now in preseason and everything. So I'm kind of hoping that I can continue to shine like he has.
Kaczmarek played the last two seasons at Ohio State, leaving an impact on his fellow tight ends, including Bennett Christian.
I want to be the next Will. I think I've really stepped up in that area on the field, and I think that I mean, that's my goal. I want to be Will Kaczmarek.
The season opener for the Buckeyes is September 5th versus Ball State. We'll have another report tomorrow. This is Tyler Danberg on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
It's the most to sale Buckeye Nation. Join us February 19th to February 26th, 2027, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer out of Barbados on the Silver Sea, Silver Ray. Meet more than 35 Buckeye greats plus some of your favorite current Buckeyes, all while making memories and helping beat cancer. You don't want to miss this ultimate Buckeye fan experience. We can't wait to see you on board. Let's celebrate 20 years of making a difference. Visit BuckeyeCruise.com for more information.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Get your air conditioning.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to the poll and the official endorse and all of those things, to CBS Sports earlier today, the SEC has finalized their punishment It mirrors the Big Ten in some respects. Half-season suspension for coaches if they play someone who is drafted in the NFL. SEC voting privileges revoked on business matters for the school in violation of the rules. A hefty fine. 50% of that sport's annual operating budget. So that's a massive fine. The league also retains the right to levy others, according to Greg Sankey, your SEC president's chancellors, if necessary. It's your move, LSU. We'll see what they do with all of that information. What do we have in the poll today, Reese?
The Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, should NFL players be eligible to return to college football under the 5-for-5 rule? 95% of respondents say no.
Of course not. No. No. Nobody wants that. All right, time for your officially endorsed on a First Friday.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Well, this one is an homage to the late, great Dolly Parton, who I saw Dan Patrick put this up. Is she the most universally beloved celebrity ever? Full stop. And she might be. She's on a very short list. So her signature cocktail was a dirt road martini. I've never had this, but quite honestly, it sounds like it might be delicious. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it tonight. So it calls for 2 ounces of vodka. I'll use High Bank vodka. It's the best vodka on planet globe. 2 ounces of High Bank vodka, 2 ounces of iced tea, unsweet. So just plain iced tea, 2 ounces of High Bank vodka, 2 ounces of iced tea, 1/4 ounce of pickled Italian gardenia vegetable brine. So 1/4 ounce of that. So that's where you're going to get kind of that olivey, pickly. It's going to come in there. And then she uses a Spanish olive and then those gardenia Italian veggies as a garnish. And it is a dirt road martini. I'm going to run one out tonight. Give it a shot. Kind of pretty good. I'm curious how the tea mixes with the vodka and the veggie brine. But we're going to give it a shot today in honor of Dolly. Time for three things on a First Friday.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Number one for me, guys, is, as you guys know, and the loyal listeners know, I run the youth travel basketball program here in town, or co-run it. And one of the things that I'm going to do today is something I've wanted to do for a long time. I've always designed the uniforms the last 3 or 4 years for the program, last couple years at least. We're getting Jimmy J grays. One of our colors is gray. That's right. Yeah, yes. We're going to use the script Clark Kellogg for our town names. So we're going to go script and then Jimmy J grays. Unfortunately, we're Navy, but we're going to go Navy and gray, and we're going to get them all locked in today.
It's going to look good.
I'm excited. It is. It's going to pop.
First thing for me, a little bit of a downer. You had the news yesterday about Dolly Parton passing away at the age of 80. This morning, Tim Curry, Wadsworth from Clue, Long John Silver from Muppet Treasure Island, passed away at the age of 80. Rest in peace to one of the true greats. And every time he was on screen, Home Alone 2, you saw how much he enjoyed what he did. And the passion for a profession, I mean, Dolly Parton, Tim Curry, those are two all-timers when you talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I will make this my first thing. I obviously remember Tim Curry the most from Home Alone 2, and I thought he was fantastic in that. He was obviously in the Rocky Horror Picture Show as well. I think it's one of the biggest letdowns for us ever. I think he would have been a perfect Grinch. I think Tim Curry should have played the Grinch at some point in his career, yeah, and it would have been spectacular. And I know Jim Carrey was awesome doing it.
Yeah,
but Tim Curry would have been the best in that role.
He really had the look for it. Yeah, he would have. Number two for me. So the boys got like some of their back to school shoes and stuff, and some of them have come in and some of it hasn't. And one hadn't come in and it was something that Beamsy had ordered. And I said, she goes, well, I ordered this like 2 weeks ago. Why is this not in? And I said, I go, gosh, yeah, that's strange. Usually those things come within a week is usually the way that it works. I said, well, where'd you get it? And she goes, StockX. And I said, hold on. I said, you bought it at StockX? She goes, yeah. And I said, honey, do you think that StockX is a store? And she goes, well, yeah, isn't it? No, it's not. not as, yeah, I mean, it's a store. You can buy things from there, but it's all, the price is completely fluctuated. There's nothing that is set. Yes, you can sometimes get deals, but also every purchase that you buy from them is finalized. Like if you don't like the size or whatever, like you're stuck, like that's part of it. My wife had no idea StockX was operated that way. God bless. God bless.
Yeah, that thing is the idea that they've got everything. Like StockX is.
Dude, and here's the problem. My kids know that it's not a store, and so they go to her as opposed to me.
Right, because there's no guess salary what? Cap.
StockX has everything on the never ending boulevard of green lights for my kids.
Second thing for me, big congratulations to a loyal listener, Phil. He might not be listening. He might take in this show later on in the podcast, which I would encourage everyone to do. But he is right now, as about 15 minutes ago, I think, was the ceremony at the Franklin County Courthouse for him and his beloved. So congratulations to them.
Big week for courthouse marriages.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's the way to go.
Second thing for me, our Capital Ford of Columbus High School football game of the week this week is a pretty big one. It's Pickerington Central and Bishop Watterson. And I was just looking into this one because you can't write the history of Ohio high school football without those two teams. In the last 10 years, Bo, between them, 4 state championships and 2 state runners-up. That's pretty good from those two.
Yeah, yeah, that really is. Number 3 for me, let's just say high school is a bit of a jump up for NBC. A weekend, like not just like homecoming asks and football practices lasting till 7, but he's in all this AP honor stuff and he's just getting swamped with homework. I don't know how the kid's going to stay afloat. We got to find a way to get through this first month and then everything, maybe he'll settle down, but it's been a hell of a week.
It's survive in advance for the first couple of months of freshman really year is. College and freshman year of high school. Some big news for Nationwide Arena in the city of Columbus. It was announced about a half hour ago that the 2027 Big Ten Wrestling Championships are coming to Nationwide this coming March 6th through the 7th. So big opportunity to peacock the city of Columbus. And, you know, Tom Ryan will be well represented with the wrestling Buckeyes there.
And Columbus will crush it because they always do. Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice have you on your Wednesday afternoon. Joshua Perry in again for AR. They're going to talk to Adam Schefter at 12:30 and the General, Bob Carpenter, at 1:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice. Enjoy your first Friday. Act accordingly. Bishop and Friends right here on the